Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
When I got diagnosed with scleroderma, I had a physician who looked at me and said, "Are you still a smoker?" Because he probably could smell the stink on me. And I was like, "Well, yes, I am." And his answer, he looked me dead in the eye and he said, "If you don't quit smoking, I can't help you. I'm not going to want to fight for your life more than you are willing to." And I was like, "Woo, I just met a doctor who's got a lot of chutzpah," and he's probably right on. We began as a menu labeling company, and fairly quickly my husband said, "We can identify allergens." And I'm like, "Honey, just get me my software. Stop making stuff up. Stop making it better. Could you just please finish?" Which is totally, you know, I still eat those words every day. He doesn't make me eat them. I eat them. Oh my gosh, he was brilliant. He's always brilliant before his time. And in this case, he had it nailed. The idea of being able to let the moms and dads out there know where peanuts are in the menu is invaluable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that at the time. 2010, I didn't know it. I'll tell you, 2019, it has built a $1 million successful business. So I know it now.
Hey, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. That was the voice of Betsy Craig. She is the CEO of Menu Trinfo and the leading expert on menu labeling and food allergies. I'll share the story of how we met in our discussion, but many people know that I do food allergy. I've done a lot of work with food allergies and food sensitivities. One of the things that I do is food allergy safety training and education. So working with restaurants and helping people serve people with food allergies safely. And I had the privilege of being trained as a master trainer by Betsy herself. I'm going to share more about that after our interview about how to connect with me about allergy training and, of course, how to connect with Betsy and Menu Trinfo as well. And I want to mention her book that I'm holding up for you, apparently, so it will help you hear it better. she has a book called Unstoppable, A Recipe for Success in Life and Business. And basically, it talks about a lot of her history and the guiding principles that she uses to guide her life and her business, and takes you through how those principles came about. So it's really a fantastic book. I'm still not quite done with reading it yet, but it is really full of great stories about how she built the business, life in general. And, you know, it's really kind of tangibly inspiring or accessibly inspiring. I'm not sure how to put that. But when you read it, you'll know exactly what I mean, I think. Anyway, so we're going to talk about her journey with scleroderma that she lives to tell about. And she talks about her stem cell treatment as well. And we're, of course, going to talk about food allergies and food menu labeling and how the business was built. And we talk about a lot of stuff. It's really good. It's always so great to spend time with her. I have so much respect for what she has built and created and her knowledge. And I feel so blessed, honestly, that I ended up getting her on the other end of the phone when I was doing research for allergy training. Before we dive in, I want to thank you all for listening to the podcast and for supporting the podcast by sharing. And remind you, if you like the work that we're doing, please consider becoming part of the Patreon community by going to the wellnessrenpodcast.com website and clicking on the Become a Patron to become a financial supporter of the work we do here to help keep it coming your way. As little as $1 a month, that's like 25 cents an episode. hopefully you find this worth your 25 cents an episode. And of course, we welcome you to be much bigger and broader supporters and take a look at the options. There are some various levels you can connect into to get you some goodies too. So, and a huge thank you, of course, to those of you who have hopped on to support the podcast and become part of our Patreon community. We really sincerely do appreciate your generosity and being a part of the work we do. So thank you. On that note, I am very excited to dive into the Betsy interview. Take it away.
First of all, Betsy, I am so excited to have you. I'll be honest. And when I have thought about doing podcasts in the past, before I was ever doing them, you were one person that I thought I want to have you on. Yeah. There's just so much you offer.
You're so sweet. Thank you very, very much. That's so kind for you to say, for sure.
So I want you to introduce yourself, but I want to start out by telling people, and some people have heard this story, how I met you, because you've been a huge influence on so many years of the direction that I've taken with my life. So when I was at UMD going to school, I was doing an internship, and my job was to find the allergens in our food and to label them for students and campers coming in summer and all of this type of thing. And at one point I asked the director at the time, I said, do you guys have any formal training of any sort? And he said, no, we have nothing. All I've learned is what I've learned at conferences. So I said, can I go and research and just see what's out there? And he says, yes, that would be fantastic. Bring it in. This would be great. So I did that. And I found a bunch of stuff that wasn't so amazing.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I did. Many, many videos and many things that just didn't feel complete. And then I ran into Allertrain and your company, and I just took my little self and I had the guts to call in and say, hey, what is this and how does it work? And you and I had this amazing conversation that was just so affirming to me that I was on the right track and that you guys were really serious and into really understanding what food allergies were and how important this was and the impact it had on people. And so then, yeah, you invited me to be a trainer, for which I hopped on board and went out to Fort Collins and went through your training, which was an amazing experience, by the way.
Good.
And awesome. Yeah. And so, then I came back and it's been a little bit sad for me, honestly. And I've talked to many people about this because I run into so many people and parents who have kids with food allergies and they ask me, they assume when we talk, they're like, well, so you've trained all these restaurants, right? And I'm like, well, no. it's not been that easy. I thought it would be so easy when I came back because the training is not only thorough, it's so ridiculously reasonably priced. And I'm told that by many people in the industry, restaurant industry. But it's been hard to get restaurants to latch on and do that. And even my university, it was not, you offered them the most amazing deal they could have been offered and they didn't take it. And it's a sadness to me. There's so much opportunity for great training. And I experience so often when I eat, how often that training is needed. So I'm excited to talk to you and I want you to share because you have so much to share about your knowledge and you really are a huge subject matter expert on menu labeling and food allergies. And it's such an important topic, but you have an amazing story that leads up to that too, that I wasn't even aware of until I read your book, which is also fantastic. So beyond that, I want you to introduce yourself and fill in the gaps because I know there's a lot that I didn't cover.
Judy, you are super kind and it's an honor and a privilege to be speaking with you today. And I vividly remember when you came to Fort Collins to become a master trainer for Allertrain by Menu Trinfo. And, we used to do the classes in person. We actually now do them online.
Yeah.
However, the in-person, you just can't beat that personal touch, You really, really can't beat it. However, like all things, digital age technology kind of wins out and did in the case of how we train people to become master trainers. I in general, introduce myself as a very lucky assistant president for a PTA for my daughter's school who had a good idea come to me and flipped it into a great business. When I think about where I came from and how I got to starting the company, it blows my mind as well. Never was my intention to start a business in 2010. Never was my intention to be, the nation's leading expert on food labeling and menu labeling and allergens and training. And some of those things are just kind of crazy to me. But I also do know that I know some of this stuff better than pretty much anybody in our space. And I have a lot of gratitude around all that. Very little pride and a whole lot of gratitude. it's pretty amazing when I kind of scope through what's been going on for 9+ years since we started the company. And then where I came before that. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, and you know, I want to touch on your book, first of all, just because I think it's just, I haven't gotten through it yet, and I think it's super valuable. But the book is called Unstoppable, A Recipe for Success in Life and Business. And what I love about your book is your transparency in all that you talk about, how you got your business going and how you run your business. And my experience is that this is so true. Like everything, I just feel the consistency from meeting you and having talked to you so many times. And you ask some great questions at the end of each chapter that are so thought-provoking. And there seem to me to be different than so many other books that I have read. And so I just want to appreciate you for that. I do want to talk about the importance of allergies and some of those pieces in food labeling. I just think at least talking some about that is so important, and it's just something that needs to be imparted. I want to talk to you a little bit about your history and your health history, because I feel like these could be two completely different podcasts, right? Your health history is just one amazing story to get through, and then what you do with the allergies is a whole another and very important story, and both very fitting for my podcast. Talk about your history, because you came from some really tough stuff with your health.
Okay. So yes, I did. And you know, I got to tell you, Judy, honestly, this morning I was out taking a walk, which that statement in and of itself is a total miracle. But I was out taking a walk and thinking about my history as a person, and more so my childhood and things that led me up to my early 20s and sort of my self-destruct period and all of that. And I thought, you know, if I had maybe had it a little bit easier, I don't know if I'd still be alive. So I want to put that there and just kind of leave that out there, that sometimes what is some horrific stuff, at least in my case, it made me tough enough to endure some other horrific stuff. And so I'm real grateful for that. In a nutshell, kind of to encapsulate this so that we can set the stage on all the different fronts you just talked about and then move forward and dive in deeper and unpack whatever we want to unpack. I'm very much a transparent, open book. I believe in living my life as if you were following me around with a video camera. There's nothing I'm doing that you can't know about. I don't have skeletons in my closet. I don't, you know, I live my truth. And that is really, really huge for me. It's huge for me medically. It's huge for me as a parent. It's huge for me as a partner in my marriage. And it's absolutely huge for me in my business. And so transparency is the name of my personal game, which is why I think getting into food allergies and menu labeling and sharing keto diets and things like that are just, it's just vital. So in 2004, I started to get sick, and it took over 18 months to get diagnosed. When I finally got diagnosed, it was the end of 2005, beginning of 2006. And I was told that I had 12 to 18 months to live because I have an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. And scleroderma means hard skin. And what happened was I started to get sick and my hands started swelling up and I could barely move my fingers and things were going crazy with my hands. And after a number of misdiagnoses, they finally discovered what it was. The challenge is my hands weren't the only part getting hard. My face was, my skin was, my internal organs were definitely deteriorating through getting hard and stiff, and things like your lungs and your heart need to move. Mm-hmm. So super crazy, scary. Decided I was not going to let that be my end, and fought like I've never fought in my life. And that's what I'm saying. I think my history prepared me for what was to be. I fought through the 2000s. So by 2009, I had done a huge round of nasty chemo, come out the other side, and actually could move my fingers and move my arms, and my face stopped bleeding from where my ears and my face were trying to separate because they were pulling because they were both so tight. Things like that were just horrific. But by 2009, I could start to function and I could start to walk and I could start to do some small hikes and things got better. 2010, I was definitely on the mend. I had visited a friend of mine who teaches a food safety course that's nationally known. And she sent me a message on Facebook and said, hey, menu labeling's coming for restaurants. You might want to check this out. And I was mostly in between jobs at that time. I tend to be a very strong, opinionated woman. And my mouth got me fired from a job at the end of 2009. So I was free to start a business. nothing encumbering me. Let's go. And it's so funny because, like, you know, people think, oh my gosh, you got fired. It's the worst thing. Well, yes and no. It wasn't the worst thing. It wasn't a just firing. I was pulling unemployment. And when my friend said, you should look at menu labeling, well, I just had plenty of time to do it. I was applying for jobs, but not getting anywhere. 2009, 2010 were not great financial times for our country. And where I lived was no exception. So ironically enough, and this is just how luck would have it, when my friend sent me that message, my husband and I were sitting in the living room kind of on our laptops doing the middle-aged Tuesday night sort of thing. He's looking at his laptop, I'm looking at mine, and I mentioned menu labeling. He looks up half an hour later and says, honey, I can produce it. I can make it. Well, you know, I looked up at him and said, Rocky, my husband's name's Rocky, and I said, Rocky, I can sell it. And in that 30 minutes, we were both staring at our laptop. We both went online and was like, okay, who's out there? Who's doing what? Can we compete in this space? Is this where we're supposed to be? And he happens to be an absolute brilliant database engineer for Hewlett-Packard and has been there for 40 years. So he knows his stuff when it comes to database. So when he looked up and said, I can build it, I didn't for a second doubt that. And he knows that I am a strong-willed, determined woman who refused to die and thought, let's keep living. So when I looked at him and said, I can sell it, he knew I was telling the truth. So that's how we started the business.
Wow.
Yeah. And it gets better from there, but I thought I'd pause and see if you want to jump in or if you want the rest of the story now.
Well, go for the rest of the story and then I have some follow-up questions.
Okay. So 2010, February 6, 2010 was when the message came from my good buddy Yvonne on Facebook. And I messaged her back and I kept saying, I'm just going to take this idea. I'm going to run with this idea. You need to be okay with it. And her response, and I love her to this day for this, is her answer was go make $1 million and do it. Today, she's a master trainer for us and she teaches from time to time. But more importantly, she's a friend. I get to enjoy dinner with her. And I'm so grateful for her telling me the information and then saying, go for it. Beth, just go.
Yeah.
So we started the business, you know. And we started the business in our basement. We were empty nesters. So we had 900 square feet in our basement. So that became our first office for 2.5 years. And Rocky built the software and I started to build the business and I had no idea how to build the business. And there's some great stories in the book about that, from using local resources to free resources to dating up to asking for help. Just some great little stories that are all true that let me launch the business that we now have known as Menu Trimfo. So we began as a menu labeling company and fairly quickly my husband said we can identify allergens. And I'm like, honey, just get me my software. Stop making stuff up. Stop making it better. Could you just please finish? Which is totally, you know, I still eat those words every day just about. Actually, it's not true. He doesn't make me eat them. I eat them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he was brilliant. He's always brilliant before his time. And in this case, he had it nailed. The idea of being able to let, you know, the moms and dads out there know where peanuts are in the menu is invaluable. And I didn't realize that at the time. 2010, I didn't know it. I'll tell you, 2019, it has built $1 million successful business. So I know it now, to my toes.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, got that down. And by the end of 2010, I decided that we needed to have training for the restaurant industry, that we didn't have standardized training, accredited training. We had the videos you talked about in your opening, and we had training that was out there on YouTube, and we had stuff that people made up because of their own experience in their own kitchens. And their own kitchens, people's kitchens versus commercial kitchens are completely different. Yes, we both cook food, but it's drastically, drastically different one versus the other. And so making true training that will appeal across the board in the food service industry is what I set out to do at the end of 2010. And by 2011, we had AllerTrain, which is a division of MenuTrinfo that we were launching out into the country on all different levels. We started in restaurants and then flipped it over to universities, and it got deeper there. And now we do training for K-12. We do all kinds of training for allergies. Through the years, we've opened an office. We went from me and my husband and a part-time dietitian to a full staff. We are now in our second office. We were in a startup-like office for about 6 years, and we moved to a what we call a big girl office. It's like normal. It's like, you know, we don't have to worry about the tattoo shop down the hall. It's all businesses and it's all professional. And it's really a great setup for us. A couple of years ago, we started doing auditing on college campuses for certified free from, which we trademarked and go in and certify colleges and campuses as free from different allergens and gluten. And then within the last year, we did a new ANSI accredited food handler course, a national one. And all during the last 9+ years, we've done it while I battled scleroderma and tried to recover from the disease, leaving myself in a really tough position because I was healthy enough to sort of keep limping along, but not healthy enough to take us to the next level. So almost a year ago, I went through full stem cell transplant to overcome the disease of scleroderma. And today I'm pretty much scleroderma free. I'm almost a year old on that. And I am back to where I was way before I got diagnosed with scleroderma. And I share with people, not to be morbid, but to be honest, that almost everybody I've met through my journey with scleroderma has passed on. So all the people I met when I first went in the support group in 2006, they've all passed away. I've got one friend from the end of 2009 that's still alive with me. Mm-hmm. And then the people I've met more recently, I'd say about half are still around. So it is a fatal, progressive, nasty disease, and being able to put it on the shelf. And I'm not allowed to officially use the word cured, but I feel like I'm cured from it, has had me, especially in the last 3 to 4 months, I mean, I'm at fighting weight. Like, we are going strong with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we are doing some really, really great stuff as a business because I'm healthy enough to do it. And this is our second year as a $1 million business, our 5th year in a row being profitable. And I get to inspire people because I'm not kidding when I say I'm an assistant or, you know, vice president of a PTA with my experience. Without a college degree, without, you know, without a whole lot of information, just grit and go for it.
Yeah, so, you've done a lot of self-making. Say that again.
I said, that's what brings us to us to here. Here we are 9+ years later, and we're still going strong. And I still think we have so far to go in the food allergy space, like you described.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you are. It is incredible. I mean, it's fantastic. You really are self-made and have, you know, in your business and have done some amazing, amazing things from the ground up. And kind of having no template to work from. Yes, a business template, but you were diving into really new territory in a lot of ways.
Yeah, people are like, you do what? Menu labeling? I mean, because menu labeling still hasn't come out nationally as a mandate. It got enacted last year, last May, 2018. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even get enforced until May of 2019. So, you know, it's still cutting edge. And that's right. Just the menu labeling side. We have food allergy laws. I was speaking to somebody who called from California. They're trying to put a training law in across the state. There's only a couple places that mandate training for food allergies. I'm on committees to change the food code, whether it makes sense or not. I mean, it's crazy how cutting edge and early this still is.
Right. It does blow my mind that we're still where we are. I mean, I am still amazed. And I am one of the conversations that I have with parents a lot when they talk to me about allergy training. I used to have, you know, do tabling events and things like that and talk about my food group and the allergy training. And they assumed that it was much more mandatory. And multiple parents said, they asked me, well, who have you trained? You know, who is it safe for me to go to eat at? And what's going on out there? And then they tell me all the experiences they have with restaurants. So I'm a pretty good solid source of, I can tell you so many people's experiences, which isn't necessarily fair. But at the same time, when I get asked by somebody who says, I have a severe allergy, where do I need to go? Or, you know, if I go to this place, is this okay? I kind of want to give them a, this is what I know, and make sure you really are careful, right? Not to disparage the restaurant, but to keep the people alive.
Right.
And right. I you know, when the parents say, well, why isn't this legislated? And why are we not, you know, not that they necessarily want more rules in place, but there's a surprise that it isn't mandatory. And they say, when I say, well, eventually we'll probably have legislation. And they say, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could trust that the restaurant that I'm going to has already done training, as opposed to, well, when there's legislation in place, then all they are doing is checking the box. How do I know they're serious about it?
Great, great question and great concern and no great answer.
Right.
So we do, you know, like there's a wonderful website out there called allergyeats.com. And that's run by a friend of mine, Paul, in Massachusetts. He and I began our businesses the same month and year, ironically enough, and he's become a great, great friend. But Paul puts out allergy awards every year, and we do allergy awards. In fact, the nomination's just open. It's our third year doing allergy awards. So trying to recognize the brands, the colleges that are doing it right and giving them huge kudos so that the food allergy community will support. Here's the problem. You ready for the real problem, Judy? I'm going to give you the real problem.
Awesome.
The
yes.
real problem. A party of six walks in a restaurant. They got a kid with a food allergy, and they don't say, have you people been allergy trained? Mm-hmm. And when the answer is no, then they walk out. If that happened, people would get allergy trained.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I had some.
They navigate the menu themselves. They go, oh, we can make it work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not helping.
Well, right. And yeah, I had some kid who took a bunch of my cards and he says, well, I'll give him your card because he had allergies. And he's like, I want to go out to eat, you know, it's such an important piece. And I think honestly, restaurants, they just don't know how much business they're losing, how important it is, how many people don't go to their restaurant. Like they just don't know because so many people just don't walk in their door. You know,
mm-hmm.
But like you say, if that question were to come up, are you allergy trained? It's so much fun. I love doing the training and I love doing the training for restaurants that are excited to have it because I know that right. It's getting through. I would rather train two people for an afternoon who are excited about it than an auditorium of 10,000 who don't care.
Right. Oh, that's so true. That's a
you
great
know?
Point.
It's
a great point.
It's so fun to be able to have people who are just like in it and they get it and they want to do it right. And you know, we in Duluth, we've got some lovely examples of restaurants. One that's been trained by me. Another one that they have definitely done their research and they do an amazing job. And they're one of the few places that people trust. But there's so many places that are struggling. And when you hear the good places, you hear the trust in the parents' voices or the people who have allergies, and it's a whole different world, you know, for them. I mean, you
right.
don't understand how, and I don't have allergies myself, but you don't understand how scary it is to navigate that arena until you've had to. And that's why some of the restaurants do it well, that some of the big chains have done it well, because there's a member in their family that's gotten celiac or gotten food allergies. And all of a sudden their world changes and they bring it from top down.
Well, people always ask me about Disney. And people ask me about Disney because in 2011, when I was doing a food allergy talk from the front of the room, I had the gentleman who's in charge of food allergies for all of Disney mm-hmm. internationally speak from the front of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I have become friends. Now, what I can tell you is I have learned a ton from that friendship as well as from going to Disney and you know, being involved with what they do and watching and all of that. the truth of the matter is Disney, yes, they are the most hospitable and they are amazing for it and world known for it. Mm-hmm. However, they had a C-level executive who had a kid with a food allergy, you know? And when that is where it's being pushed from, like you say, the top down, we don't have big debates. That restaurant you say that gets it locally, it would cost them less than $100 to train two or three people and be aller trained, but they're still not willing to spend that money to do that, to officially have a cert on the wall. People go, oh, they get it. Mm-hmm. It's that myth that's happening. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I, you know, Disney has their own allergy program internally. It is not mine. Mm-hmm. I wish it was, it's not. But every employee goes through their allergy training, you know, and they don't think it's a bother and they don't think, and it's a culture thing for them, but it starts at the top down. So I put it out there that, you know, when we're looking at why aren't you getting trained and it's time to get trained, it's just so vital. Even if you learn one little thing to walk away to help a client, it's you're the go-to. You're the place everybody feels safe for. Why wouldn't you do that for business?
Well,
but everybody's got to figure it out on their own, don't they?
Right. I know. Yeah. And it's so hard. It's so hard to watch sometimes. And I've had many conversations within restaurants and schools where there are people who serve the food who want the training, but they won't. The upper management doesn't want to do it or doesn't want to pay for it or feels like it's going to be a pain. And I, you know, the conversations of the people to say, if I could just get everybody to go through the training and understand that you just always have to ask somebody else and it's not a bother, and to create that culture around in the business, in the restaurant, in the school, you know, the idea that nobody should be taking an order or running the cash register without having allergy training, it's far more logical than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah, I agree and I see it. And, you know, it's why legislation is going to end up being the thing that pushes it through. Mm-hmm. And food code change, although some of the language has already made it into the food code, but definitely going to see more and more legislation be the key to getting people trained and keeping people trained.
Right. Yeah. And kudos to those restaurants who are stepping out beforehand, you know, before they are told to do it. Those are like the heroes, right? I mean,
They are. I agree. I totally agree. They're my heroes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and just to say, hey, this is important. We need to step out in front of this because we want to take care of our customers, not because somebody told us we have to do this. It's a totally different attitude.
Well, it goes back to the line that Rocky came up with right after we started doing allergy training. He said, keep hospital out of hospitality. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very true. Nobody wants their dessert in the ER. It's just they don't.
Right.
And so therefore, you know, 24 minutes online for Allertrain Light or 40 minutes in person, which is better learning with someone like yourself. And we have master trainers all over the country. We're seeing huge inroads, gigantic inroads in the university space. So we've trained over 450 universities. Allertrain.com has a map. You go there and you say which college is in, you know, Minnesota, which college is in Florida. And the reason of that is we've now had two major lawsuit settlements with the DOJ on discrimination and ADA. And they're getting nailed for not following ADA by not accommodating. And so the university college space is towing the line way in advance of anyone else because they don't want to get sued.
Right.
You know, they can do accommodations that are regular, reasonable, or rock star. They get to make their choice. And reasonable is the legal term that comes out on the settlement. So I think everybody should do rock star, but at least do something.
Right.
So more and more, we're making inroads. It's a lot better than it was, Judy, honestly, just even a couple short years ago.
Yeah, no, and from things I've read and from parents who are looking for those allergy-friendly schools, that they have more choices than they used to feel like they had. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We just talked to a university that shall remain nameless, but We talked to a university that is about to go peanut tree nut free every single dining facility, period.
Wow.
In the fall. Like, that's mind blow. That's massive. We have the Cornells that started with us a couple of years ago and are peanut, tree nut, and gluten-free an entire facility, and then they commissary for the rest of the campus. So any kiddo with those allergies, peanut or tree nut, or needs to be gluten-free by medical need or choice, can get food anywhere on the campus of Cornell in Ithaca, New York, and it will be tagged and it will be safe, and that's what they can eat. And we're seeing that more and more across the country. We have some really cool colleges coming on for fall, and that we make them jump through 92 hoops, I swear. And they're thrilled to do it, because then they can turn around and say, we're safe, right? Which is just, that's where we're going.
Well, and address that a little bit, the whole concept around, because I, you know, like you're saying, the facilities that are going tree nut, peanut, and gluten-free type of thing, when they do that, is that a situation where that food is then not available for anybody, or?
So that's a great question. I love that question. The food is available for anybody. Very rarely do they have an area that's just for the food allergy kids or just for the gluten-free kids. I'll stay with the Cornell example. Right there, they have a dining facility called Risley Hall. It looks exactly like the Hogwarts, by the way.
Oh, neat.
Just something that's been around forever. It's awesome. And it's the most glorious building. And it just looks crazy good. At any rate, every single item and the food line there is free from gluten, peanut, tree nut, period. Okay. The only exception is coconut. That's a whole nother podcast on coconut, let me tell you. But peanut, tree nut, and gluten, minus coconut, it's free from. So any student at any time can walk in and eat in that facility. Okay. So there's nothing that's going to contain any one of those things. And then they commissary it across the campus and people can grab it and go. They use our logo. Our logo, that it's like a Trivial Pursuit piece, if you want to know. And it shows what it's free from. Okay. That's how we were able to do it with all those allergens. And so they stick that on the container and say, this is certified free from gluten, or this is certified free from peanut, tree nut, or both. And then the students pick it up and they know they're safe. Other locations like Syracuse University has a whole station dedicated to gluten-free that's in a different part of the dining facility. And again, any student can walk up to it for any reason. So if it's a choice diet, they don't have to explain it to anybody. If it's a medical diet, they don't have to explain. They just go walk up and get their food and they're safe. And then they're not spending, you know, exam week in the bathroom. And instead, they're sitting there taking their exams the way they need to.
Well, and not to mention, just finding out what's in your food. Sometimes, I mean, I have been in as a student waiting for somebody to go ask somebody else to go ask somebody else, does the what in here is gluten-free, or what in here has whatever. And sometimes you find out, well, there's really nothing you can eat anyway, or they don't really know, so they don't really want to give you, they don't want to tell you you can eat anything, or they couldn't find the person. And it's maddening, because the amount of time you can waste and then find out you really can't eat anything, or you're just not sure, it's a lot of time that doesn't need to be spent, because it's, again, easily solved. Somebody clearly has the recipe and knows how things were made.
Yeah, agreed. Totally.
So when some of these places are taking out, be it peanut, tree nut, gluten, I guess one of the things that I can imagine somebody was hearing is saying, well, that might not be fair to other students if are these foods taken out so that nobody in the school has access to them at all. So it's just,
it's so great. That's such a great question. Yeah. And I go back to, smoking back when I smoked on this. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion on this. And I do share my opinion openly and freely. My opinion is you can smoke all you want, but I can't sit in this room with you smoking and still breathe safely. So, you know, it's almost like, yes, you can totally smoke in a facility and then everybody around you is smoking, or you can go outside and smoke and everybody gets to be wherever they want to be safely. So the idea of peanut butter, which, and we had picketing moms in Florida over peanut butter being banned from schools. mm-hmm. and people screaming and losing their minds over peanut butter having to go away. If peanut butter's like a loaded gun, or peanut butter's like cigarette smoke, why is it like, because it's not cigarette smoke, it's peanut butter, it's allowed, it will kill a child. Mm-hmm. Just like long-term tobacco smoke will, just like a bullet will, you know? And I look at it and I think, oh my gosh, can't we accommodate? At what point are we humans to each other? And now the peanut board loses its mind with me, because they want me to understand. And I've had many emails from them telling me that denatured proteins and oils are safe for people with food allergies and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I get it. I get their job is to sell peanuts, and I get that that's what they're passionate about. But if a college wants to make a choice to remove peanuts because they see so many students with peanut allergies, that it's safer and easier to put individual peanut packs in their market so people can grab them there, or by the exit door so they can grab them on their way out, then why is that harmful to anybody? Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I go to.
And like you're saying, they're able to make different accommodations. So no, maybe it's not quite as available, but it's still available. So it's not really taking anybody's, in a sense, right away, but it isn't. We are talking an allergen that is exponentially grown. You know, this isn't just a couple kids in many cases. It's a lot more.
Yes. It's 1 in 13 that has a food allergy, and the prevalent allergy in young adults and children is peanut, period. It would be a different ball game if you said you're going to make an entire college campus egg, dairy, soy, nut free, soy free and nut free. I mean, to do that would be honestly to change the profile of like all the food, because mm-hmm. soy isn't so much and dairy isn't so much. Peanuts and tree nuts are not massive ingredients on campuses. They're not massive ingredients in recipes, with mm-hmm. the exception of, you know, certain different things like donut locations, dessert, is probably the biggest challenge in that space, by the way, and those two allergens. Desserts are really the biggest challenge. But it's not as prevalent as dairy or as prevalent as soy. So doing peanut and tree nut free is so much simpler than those other of the big eight allergens.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention more airborne.
Well, airborne gets really crazy, because there are people that are allergic airborne, but it is not super common with food. Airborne is super common with other allergies, like outdoor allergies and seasonal allergies. But airborne for food is pretty rare. I've heard of 2 people in 9 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
That had a reaction from airborne. And that's not to minimize those 2 people or sure. other people with it. But people are always saying, what about airborne? And what about, you know, how can we be gluten-free in a pizza shop where we're throwing flour? Airborne is a very rare allergy for food.
Okay. One of my first awarenesses of a peanut allergy was somebody who it was very much an airborne issue for them, you know? So that was one of my, that was where I first started to learn that it was more than just eating the food, that it was, you know, no, if I'm over here and you're over there, oh, far, you know, but in the same room, and you open the peanut butter jar, it's not going to take very long before I'm going to get sick. And that was just mind blowing to me.
Mm, yeah.
So
it is mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, and then to imagine to walk around in the world with that, you know, you don't know what somebody's going to open. I mean, that's got to be scary.
Right.
So I'm glad to hear that it's not super prevalent. And I don't hear, I mean, most of what I hear isn't the airborne, obviously, but I'm glad to know that it isn't a huge portion of the folks.
I think one is too many. And so to be conscious of it and aware of it's really, really important.
Right.
I also know there aren't systems that will filter out the allergens, and there's not really good answers for people with airborne allergies. And it makes it a big challenge for them to function in the world with an airborne allergy. I mean, you have got to be vigilant about EpiPens and all of that. However, what I know is that I believe that in this lifetime, this one precious life I was given, my job is to carry a message that training and accommodations and all of that is possible to to share a yes, we can sort of message so that the people know that, you know, that's more, I just think it's a different attitude. I think it's a different energy that can be put out there. I also think that there's a whole lot of just basic food safety that people can practice that will take care of the general public. Yeah, I could go down about three different rat holes right now, so I'm going to hold off and see where you want to take it again. We are way over on this one spot, and it's really, really, really important. You know, just like menu labeling is important for those that have diabetes, you need carbs, and those that are obese, you need different numbers to figure out what you're doing diet-wise. All of it. This is a great space to be in and a great time to be doing it.
Right. Well, and with the new sugar, the added sugar being added, I mean, that's very excited for many, many people. It brings a whole different awareness about what they're eating.
It would help if the FDA had their stuff in order on that one.
Is that where are we with that? Because I know I see it occasionally, but it doesn't feel like it's everywhere.
Yeah, the problem is, first off, it's not mandated yet. It's not mandated till 2020. And then with it, the regulations and the rules are so confusing. So I'll give you an example. We do nutrition labels for products for people all the time. Like, we have that capability with that software that your brilliant husband made. Mm-hmm. And we now have labels both ways. So we can do it with or without the added sugars based on what people want. We can only do added sugars if the manufacturers have done added sugars, because we can't put in added sugars unless we know what they are. So we have to have, whoever makes the product has to have manufacturers that have already done added sugars. And then there are things like, there are different product items. I want to be careful about naming out a certain type of item, but there are ingredients or products that you might have in your refrigerator right now that doesn't say added sugar on the label. And in fact, the sugars are actually derived from fruit or derived from natural ingredients. Mm-hmm. So those wouldn't necessarily logically be added sugars. Mm-hmm. However, the FDA is saying, no, no, no. On that one, we want you to call it added sugar. On that one, we don't. On that one, we do.
Oh.
And so therein lies the problem, because the FDA has some different rules based on the ingredient and components that make up the ingredient. So it's going to be, once it happens, it's going to be so confusing. However, you know, so was menu labeling. I mean, menu labeling was a 400-page document that we kind of knocked down and went, oh, okay, we can do this.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's clear as mud because it's coming from DC.
Wow. It's a whole different appreciation for that. That side of things, because we think, well, this shouldn't be that hard, you know.
I completely agree with you.
So I want to just touch back on the auditing that you do. So when you do an audit to determine if something is allergy free or that kind of thing, it is you, Betsy, that goes there and walks through that whole space. Is that correct?
Well, it was in the beginning. I don't get to go there as much often. So Kitchens with Confidence, Menu Trimpo is a company made up of four different lines of business: nutrition information, allergy training under Allertrain, food handler training under Food Handler, and the final is the audits, like you're describing, under Kitchens with Confidence. So Kitchens with Confidence is the division where people come to us and say, we want to communicate to our student body this area is safe, or this campus, or we have a couple camps. We've been getting more camp requests lately. Or we just did our first restaurant in Annapolis, Maryland, called Carroll's Creek Cafe, right on the water. And they came to us and said, we want our restaurant to be nut-free in the kitchen 100%. The bar we can't, but the restaurant part we can. And we're like, okay, do you have any idea the hoops you're going to get to jump through? And they're like, no, that's why we're coming to you to find out. So we take people through a pretty rigorous and very intense process, but it's basic. It's simple. It's, here are the steps. You know, you're going to apply. We're going to go through getting you signed up on board as a client. And then we're going to ask you for every policy, procedure, tool you use then we're going to want to see every ingredient that comes through your back door or comes into the space you want us to certify. And then we're going to send a person out there that has been trained to be an auditor. And that person is going to do everything hands-on, take pictures, look for posters, make sure policies are being followed. And then they send the information back to our headquarters, where someone puts together a report based on the audit that was done on site. Now, there are a couple of really cool things. One, the on-site audit can be done by master trainers if they've been trained to do it. And our audit is all done through an application software. So it can be done on an iPhone or an iPad, which is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. We have 41 different massive major headers that people follow, and then you have to take pictures to prove things all along the way. And then it comes back to us. We put it all together at the headquarters and then send out the certificate, send out the report, or send out these things need to be done before we can certify you. So far, we have not walked into a kitchen, gone out on an audit where we weren't able to certify them. Almost every single place has needs to make a couple tweaks or changes, some more so than others. But by the time we're flying on a plane or sending a master trainer in, we pretty much know that their food's good to go. They've got their policies nailed down. They might need help hand-holding on a couple, but we know they're going to rock it. And then we go back every year. Now, they have to do testing at least monthly. Manufacturers have to do testing more often. We have a couple products now we certify. We just picked up a certification for a Moulet sausage out of Colorado. It's amazing. And then Brookie's Cookies and Allie's Gluten-Free. Those are our three products we've certified so far.
Nice.
Lots more calls coming on that one too. So manufacturing has to test more often. But everybody has to test at least monthly, submit reports, submit quarterly reports. There's a lot of follow-up, and we make these folks pretty accountable to maintain their certification.
That's exciting. So if somebody has worked through you, just I wanted people to understand that. So if they are seeing, you know, going to a college or whatever, and they're seeing that they understand what you guys have done to make that a reality.
Yeah. You know what's ironic, though, Judy, is that it started really in the Northeast. So our clients started with colleges, and I used to do this with FAIR. For 2 years, we did it with FAIR, but they didn't want to do the certification piece. They just had a self-audit, and you know, you could download and do a self-audit, and isn't that grand? But nobody came behind to check and say, okay, you're legit. And that's the piece that I really felt was missing. So like Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, those parts of the country, we're seeing a lot of movement. Other parts of the country, it's not as prevalent yet, although we have something in Minnesota opening. We've got a Louisiana. I've got two in California and one in Washington State. So it's starting to go to the other coast. But this has been, you know, it's been a little slow on the uptick. And I don't know if it's because people are getting used to the idea, or because I was busy doing stem cells, so I wasn't out talking about it as much, but we are definitely seeing it now. Like I said, I think we've got almost a dozen other colleges in conversation at some point in their contracts, or, you know, kind of going down the road of being on by fall, an additional 12 colleges. We've got a couple camps, and like I said, a bunch of products. So KWC end of our business, Kitchens with Confidence, definitely up and to the right and building.
That's fantastic. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I want to circle back, if you don't mind, to your experience with scleroderma. There's like too many questions to ask.
Sorry. I know.
No, it's great. I love it. This is such a great. It's so good. It's so exciting. And there's just so much to talk about. And I love it. So I want to get back to when you were talking about your experience with scleroderma. You know, you talked about the fact that there were, you know, that you're the only one living in many cases from the people that you knew with scleroderma. My question for you about that is what do you think you did differently?
It's too stubborn to die. Pardon me. I made myself get all choked up there for a moment. You know, it's interesting because I sort of omitted one little section of the story, and that is when I got diagnosed with scleroderma, I had a physician who looked at me and said, "Are you still a smoker?" Because he probably could smell the stink on me. And I was like, "Well, yes, I am." And his answer, he looked me dead in the eye and he said, "If you don't quit smoking, I can't help you. I'm not going to want to fight for your life more than you are willing to." And I was like, "Woo, I just met a doctor who's got a lot of chutzpah." Mm-hmm. And he's probably right on. So I remember going home from that appointment, and it's funny, he was over in Boulder. I live an hour away from Boulder. So I had a long drive home to think about what he had said to me. And I'm like, you know what? He's got a point. If I'm putting that kind of poison in my body knowingly, what else am I putting in my body that's poison? And I took a really hard look at my food and my lifestyle and made some pretty aggressive changes. First off, I did quit smoking. It took 5 years for me to stay quit. I'd go 9 months and have one cigarette and then have to start my date over. However, I haven't had a cigarette in a long time. I don't know, 11 years or something, 12 years, a long time now, maybe 11 years. But then I had to put down the Hostess Ho-Hos, and that's not the bang out Hostess Ho-Hos. I had to put down the processed foods. That's the best way to say that. Because I was a TV dinner literally in front of the TV, a TV dinner you stick in the oven, Swanson, that you just pull out. It was the best thing ever. That's just all processed. And my body wasn't processing processed foods really well. So I made a major lifestyle change. And I'm always cautious about being very clear about this because I don't want anybody to do my diet and call it the Betsy diet, and then I'm in trouble if it doesn't work for you. Because what works for me might not work for you. We're all different human beings made up of different cells. But I use one really simple rule that I do share all the time. And that is when I flip a product over, if I can't read every ingredient, I don't put it past my lips. It's very simple. If it's got those words on there that I just can't read, then there's no reason I should be eating it. Mm-hmm. Because food's supposed to be readable.
Right. and then lettuce might not count for jicama, but
right. Well, I can read jicama, but I can read lettuce. But if you pick up something that's got 92 words on it and most of them are just woo, then I don't need it. And I really, really believe that had an impact on my health. I also did things like meditation every single day, prayer every morning, 2 times a week. I had a massage therapist come in the house. I would spend anywhere from 2 to 4 hours every night in a bathtub. My husband, God love him, put up a TV and we just kept filling it with hot water and put a second water heater because in the water I could move and that made it so I didn't lose the movement of my hands. I was willing to do whatever it would take to fight scleroderma so that I didn't die, period.
Wow. Yeah. And to keep searching. To figure stuff out too. What is the thing that you need to be doing?
Well, yeah, and then to be open to it. So the whole stem cell situation was very bizarre. If we have a few more moments, I'd love to tell the story.
Yes,
that
please,
I don't know if we have.
Please, please, please.
Okay, this is another crazy story. So in my book, I talk about just being alive and awake and aware. So things show up when I need. Whether it's a class on how to build a website, because eventually I built our own 52-page website with no skills whatsoever, except going to the right events, and that's where I learned. So that's whatever I need shows up if I'm paying attention in my life. It just does. And I believe it does for everybody, but I have to stay tuned in for me. So I had a friend who has scleroderma, and I talk about Eileen all the time, and she loves that I talk about her. So I have her full permission. Eileen got scleroderma 20 years ago, and the first 19 years was problem-free. And about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, she started to have problems with one foot. And her foot started to go bad with infections and gangrene setting in her foot and then in her bone. And they finally had to do an above-the-knee amputation of her right foot. And, you know, thanks to Facebook and friendships and supporting, I was able to support her through it. And what happened for me was I found out there was a scleroderma walk for the Scleroderma Foundation in Denver, like 2 weeks, week and a half after they took off Eileen's foot. So I was sitting not far from that, an hour north of Denver in my home, thinking to myself, you know, Betsy, you need to go do that walk. You have 2 feet, even though your lungs are horrible and you really can't go up more than 4 stairs without stopping and panting. You need to go do that walk because Eileen can't walk and you can walk. So get off this couch and go walk. So I jumped in, I signed up, I raised $3,000, and I went down to Denver 9 days later to do a loop around the walk path because that's all I could do because my lungs are that bad. So I go there to do the walk. I'm standing there talking to this lady, and she's like, you have scleroderma? Because most of my outward symptoms had subsided. My hands were better physically on the outside. I looked pretty normal. And I said, well, yeah, I have scleroderma. And then she started talking to me, and I started talking. She goes, oh, I hear it. You can't talk. You can't breathe. I said, no, I can't breathe. It's in my lungs. And she said to me, why don't you get stem cell? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she's like, well, there's stem cell transplant. I had it a couple of years ago, and it will give you your lungs back. And wow. I thought, who is this lady? She's nuts. But I listened to her, and then I started doing the footwork. And that was a Saturday. Wednesday, of course, was my doctor's appointment because that's how stuff works. And I said something to him, and he said, you've had it 14 years. I don't know if they'll take you, Beth. Plus, you're over 50. I don't know if they'll take you. But let's try. So he tried. And wouldn't you know, they said, well, we're not sure if we'll take her either, but we'll have a phone call with her. So they called me from where they do these transplants in Chicago. And they interviewed me on the phone. And the lady on the phone said, you just passed the phone interview. Would you send us your paperwork? So I am very organized. So I sent all my paperwork in. And it took me about 2 days to just gather it all, electronically send it in. And about a week later, I got a phone call back and they said, okay, your paperwork just passed with flying colors. Can you come to Chicago in October? We'd love to see you and do a in-person interview and put you through some tests and see if you qualify. So I went to Chicago a year and a half ago in October and went through all those tests. And while I was going through those tests, I got all the indications they were going to approve me. They did. Then the insurance company said, no. Too much money. Oh. So my husband and I took out our 401k because I made the point, if we don't spend it, I'm not going to be alive to spend it. So I'm spending that part now. Thanks so much. we deposited the money into the bank account. And the next day, the insurance company came through with approval. So we got all our money back.
Oh, that's exciting.
Very. We flew to Chicago and we started the stem cell. And I harvested my own cells in February of 2018. I went back in April of 2018 and was, you know, put through the rest of the transplant where they give me my stem cells back. And those stem cells become immune cells. And I literally walked out of there a different woman. I had changes of things that I had been not able to do for 14 years while I was still laying at the in the bed at Northwestern Hospital.
Wow.
Things like holding a fork or being able to make the movement with my lips strong enough so I could whistle. Just little things like that.
That's so fast. Literally,
yeah, instant. It was pretty amazing. And I can walk up way more than 4 steps without stopping. I don't pant all the time. You can hear, I've been able to speak to you normally. I literally could only speak about 4 to 8 words, and then I was out of breath and had to gasp for breath constantly. That's what it's doing for my lungs. Wow. The stuff you might not be able to see, but right. The stuff that still matters.
Wow.
So that's how it shows up.
That's amazing.
What I was busy doing in 2018.
Yeah.
That's why 2018, I feel like I'm hitting the ground running, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm so glad. I mean, congratulations. I'm so glad that everything worked out and you had that opportunity. It's just a beautiful and exciting thing. Mm.
Thank you very much. I could not agree more. I think it's super exciting and super, I'm just beyond blessed, but yeah. It's about keeping my eyes open and what shows up.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I think back to your statement of what the doctor said of the whole, if, you know, if I'm working harder for your health than you are kind of thing. And I think that's something that we don't like have that mindset in our culture very often. And I know I had a relative who had something very similar to him said, and it completely changed. You know, he was going in for surgery and the doctor said, if you're not going to quit smoking, don't even bother, because I don't want to, it's just a waste of all both of our times. And it sounds so crass, right? But he ran with it and it changed his existence. And I don't know how I feel about it. There's the live and let live and let people do what they want to do. But I think sometimes having those things said to us and letting us know that somebody really does care is a really powerful statement that can go really far.
Yes, I completely agree.
So good for him for sticking his nose out.
Well, you know, why should they work harder than I'm willing to work, you know?
Right, right. Anything else that you want to throw out there for folks about either your experience or your company before we go? And I want you to share contact information too.
Well, that was the only thing that came to mind, is that BetsyCraig.com is my website for the book and for my blog and all the stem cell stuff. So it's super easy for people to read through. I did a blog as I went through the stem cell. Some of it's extremely graphic. I have very little hair in it. it's all good. It's all me. I'm super happy to share that. And then through that website, you can also get the book, which is awesome. And then for business, menutrinfo.com. And that stands for menu nutrition information, all mashed up. So menu, menutrinfo.com is the best way to reach out and just fill out the information. You know, there's a thing, contact us. Those always find me. If somebody's looking for me, it always comes through to me. So it's an easy, easy way for people to find me personally as well as professionally. And a lot of this stuff I just put out there, you can use it. If somebody can benefit from hearing my story, or if you can benefit, please let me know. I'm super happy to connect with people on LinkedIn, connect anywhere. I'm all over all that stuff more times than I even know most of the time. You know how that is.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time and sharing with us. And thank you from my personal experience. You obviously have been a huge part of driving some of the pieces that I do with the allergy training that I'd love to really honestly do a lot more of if anybody is listening.
Judy's your girl. Go to her.
I love to do it and I love to talk to people. I mean, like you say, it's the in-person. It is so much fun. It is so much fun to do it in person, or at least over the phone, because you get to answer those questions, you know. And
well, the training is 100 times better if you do it in person. The retention for employees is so much better. I mean, the in person. There's studies. We have a blog about that coming out if it's not already out. It's amazing how different it is. If you're going to spend the money, do it in person.
Yeah, right. And it just, you can get some of those little details taken care of. And, you know, some of the questions nobody will ever send over email, but they'll ask in person because they're standing right there those are some of the biggest gems, I think.
I could not agree more. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful. And I hope this reaches so many people to hear about your story and be inspired, because honestly, you know, your book, as like I said, I haven't finished it, but it's business, it's health, it's so many things, and it's just speaking from you that speaks so inspirationally, I think, to others, and it just feels so genuine and so you, and I love it.
Well, Judy, thank you very much for allowing me to be on with you today and share with whatever. I just always, my prayer and my hope is that I touch one heart for 1 minute and make a difference for at least one person. And if I get to do that, then I am put on this earth for a reason, and that is it. And that's kind of where I go to.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Again, to connect with Betsy, BetsyCraig.com has her book information and her story about her stem cell treatment. And then, of course, MenuTrinfo.com as well for the menu labeling, the allergy training, and the kitchen audits. And I want to talk a little bit about the allergy training, the training that I do and that AllerTrain does. So there is training for front of the house, back of the house, restaurant. There's training for schools, for colleges, for chefs. It's fantastic. They have some amazing programs. And I would love to connect with anybody who has questions about the training. It is very reasonably priced. I want to toss that out there because whenever I do talk to somebody about training in the restaurant industry and the like, and they find out how much it is, they're always surprised at how affordable it is. So it's pretty darn accessible. And I would love to work with you on it. I love doing the training. I love to have the conversations. If it's training that you're not quite sure you're ready for, let's talk, or you need some questions answered. If I don't have the answer, I have Betsy and her whole company backing me up to help me get the correct answer, the correct information. And they are and have been fantastic since the day that I started working with them, which was, what, in 2014, I think? So please reach out. You can connect with me at judy@wellnessren.com. That's J-U-D-Y at wellness, the word wellness, R-E-N.com. And that is short for Wellness Renaissance because nobody likes to spell Renaissance. So get a hold of me. Ask whatever questions you have. If you have questions about food allergies, again, I'm happy to help you with that. You know, it's one of those things when, like Betsy was talking about, with restaurants who don't necessarily do training because they think they've got it figured out. And I wrote a story from a story that I had been told about a restaurant who thought they had it figured out. They were doing everything they could to make sure that they were serving their gluten-free food correctly. And they had a customer who was their favorite place to eat, who was getting sick every single time she was eating there. And eventually she went, tried to, you know, say, is there anything I can do? Can I just, from being somebody who loves this place, can I come and see what's going on? And what she ended up finding out was that they were using the same pasta water for gluten-free and gluten-y pasta. And before that moment, they were doing everything they could. It's those things that we don't know that we don't know. And granted, that's something that we're a little more familiar with this now, so it's a little more commonplace. At the same time, I still hear fascinating stories of things people just didn't think about in the moment. It was just an awareness. So again, go for allergy training. I'd love to help you, love to work with you. And if you're not in Minnesota, I can still do things over the web, and AllerTrain offers web options too. But it is really fun. If you can do it in person, it's fantastic. If you can at least do something over the web live and in person, it's second best, I think. So, but there are other options available, and I'm pretty flexible when I do training. So anyway, that's that. Would love to connect with you, and it's just such an important thing to do. So however you get it done, I just encourage you to get it done. You know, if you're working with church groups or things like that, where they're serving food with people with allergies, schools, daycares, give me a call. And before I let you go, if you're new to the podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or whatever it is that you listen to podcasts on. You can also, of course, go to wellnessrenpodcast.com and you will see all of the episodes there. So check them out. We've got some amazing people, amazing modalities, people, concepts, ideas, food. Lots of stuff that can support you in your world and in your life. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Pass it around. Let anybody know who you think might be interested. If you're getting the emails, feel free to forward them on. If you're not on our email list, you are welcome to do that. Just go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com website. And on the left, we just ask for your name and your email so that we can shoot you out a quick message whenever we have a podcast go out. You can click on and listen, super easy. You can also support the podcast if you are an Amazon shopper. No cost to you. Just go to the website, click on support the podcast, and you'll find Amazon links. Betsy's book will be one of them up there. You do not necessarily have to buy whatever you click on, so don't feel like you're committing. If you click on a book and you're like, ooh, that's not the one I want, whatever you do purchase within that shopping trip will be a little tiny portion of it will go into the Wellness Renaissance bucket to help support the podcast. So think of us whenever you do your Amazon shopping. Really do appreciate the support and those of you who take those extra clicks to click on through our website. Really do appreciate it. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, we welcome you and invite you to click the big red Become a Patron button and support me on this crazy adventure that we're all on together. Thank you for listening and spending your time with me. Until next time, may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Have a great week.